right now, we've got to hear what our man in Washington, D.C. has to say about geopolitical activities. We're talking about Ken Timmerman, who is so knowledgeable of so many things. And Ken, let me get right to it. Russian warships now have entered the Mediterranean. The president of Russia, Vladimir Putin, says he wants to have a presence, a naval presence in the Mediterranean. He has been there, and he's had his warships ported there at the dock on the Mediterranean coast for Syria. They're watching the Syrian situation. We're going to talk about Syria and Russia, but what about these warships coming into the Mediterranean?
Well, one of the things I find a bit ironic here is that their first stop, Jimmy, was in Limassol, Cyprus, where so many Russian oligarchs had parked their money, and where the Cyprus government was intending to confiscate some of their money in bank accounts when the country went bankrupt. But nevertheless, this is the first time that I'm aware of that the Russians have moved a large naval force into the Mediterranean, and this is a large naval force since the end of the Cold War. They've had this base in Tartus, Syria, on the Mediterranean coast. During the Cold War, it was more or less tolerated by the United States as long as they did not send a large naval force in. This time they have. It would appear that the aim is to show the United States, and especially the Europeans, that Russia will back Syria no matter what happens, and they will do their best to help Syria thwart any kind of no-fly zone or certainly a naval embargo against Syrian President Bashar al-Assad should the Western alliance decide to do so. So this is a deterrent move. The Russians throwing their weight around, trying to show the West that they are a force to be reckoned with, even in the Mare Nostrum, right? The Mediterranean, the sea that is supposed to be the cradle of civilization, of Western civilization, and dominated by Europe.
Yeah, wow, that is a very interesting development. But I've got to tell you, Russian President Vladimir Putin is in your face to America as well with the delivery of those S-300s, ground-to-air anti-aircraft missile systems that have been already shipped, according to the foreign minister, I believe, of Russia into Syria. Plus, in addition to that, they've given them some very sophisticated missile operations, a ship killer missile. This does not bode well for what could happen.
Well, again, this is interesting. As you say, Putin is in your face, in our face in particular, and there'd been a lot of speculation about these S-300 air defense missiles. They're a very advanced missile. They have a missile interceptor capability as well, and they would be able to put the Israeli Air Force at jeopardy, as well as probably Western attack fighters should we decide to enforce a no-fly zone. Up until this week, really, it was anybody's guess whether this contract, which the Russians had announced that they had signed, had been executed or not. Now you have the foreign minister of Russia, Mr. Lavrov, saying that they are actively shipping those missiles. You have the Syrians who are saying that they have already received the missiles. And you have Benjamin Netanyahu meeting with Russian President Putin in Sochi, asking him to not deliver the missiles. So my guess is that the missiles are being delivered as we speak. Some of them have already arrived. The Syrians are being trained on them, and the Israelis are doing what they can to prevent more training and more missiles for arriving. You mentioned that anti-shipping missile. That's also extremely significant. This is a upgraded version of a Russian missile that's been around for a little while, and the Syrians clearly can use this again to deter a Western naval embargo or a no-fly zone in parts of Syria.
You know, I thought it was very interesting. I observed the fact that once that meeting between Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel and President Putin of Russia was finished, they had a press conference, and neither one of these world leaders said a word about the S-300s, giving us the indication they were in the process, as you say, of delivering them. Well, let's look at Egypt. There has been an investigation. There's information that there was a terrorist cell, plotting to bomb the United States Embassy in Cairo. They had the explosives. They had Al-Qaeda manuals as to how to do it. Boy, we better wake up and pay attention to what's happening.
Well, and Jimmy, also, Very, very significant. You have the Egyptians announcing that these particular al-Qaeda suspects had been trained in Iran and Pakistan. Now, why is that significant? Because, you know, many of your so-called experts on Islam will say that al-Qaeda and Iran cannot work together because they come from different sects of Islam. Al-Qaeda is the Wahhabi Sunni sect, and the Iranians are Shias. But when it comes to killing Jews and killing Americans, they get along just fine. They've carried out many terrorist attacks together. The Iranians have special bases in Iran where they train al-Qaeda terrorist operatives. They keep them separate from others. And recently, one of my colleagues, Reza Khalili, at the Foundation for Democracy in Iran, announced that Iran has new plans to work with al-Qaeda terrorists to launch a wave of attacks inside the United States. And they plan to do this before the Iranian elections on June 14th. Again, they will not use the standard al-Qaeda terrorists from Saudi Arabia or from the UAE or probably not even from Egypt, but they're looking for others either from European countries. There are lots of al-Qaeda terrorists now who are coming from Europe itself or from the Caucasus region or Central Asia, some of the republics of Central Asia. So Iran and al-Qaeda are still working together. They worked together in the 9/11 plot. A judge in New York City found that Iran was responsible, shared responsibility for the al-Qaeda attacks on America on September 11, 2001, and that is continuing today in this Egyptian plot and also in plots here in the United States.
Ken, you're kind of headquartered right there in Washington, D.C. You're downtown Washington often, meeting with people, learning so very much, and helping us to understand what's happening. Have you observed, as I have, President Obama is simply ignoring the link between radical Islam and terrorism today, and this may be some of the problem?
Well, President Obama seems to spend more time on the golf course than he does reading his intelligence briefs. He seems to spend more time on vacation than he does actually dealing with national security issues. So, he has gone out of his way since he's taken office to ban the lexicon of jihadi Islam when dealing with Islamist terrorism. His CIA director, John Brennan, was the point man for enforcing this ban on the terminology that the jihadis themselves use. So no reference to Islamism, no reference to jihad, no reference to Islamic doctrine, no reference to Sharia law, which is their goal, no reference to the caliphate, which is what they would like to reestablish worldwide. And Obama and his top lieutenants are pretending that there's some kind of radical extremism out there, but it has no real identifiable ideology. This is suicidal blindness on their part. In fact, I think you could almost say it is making excuses for the enemy, trying to whitewash what the enemy is actually doing here on our territory, here in the United States, as well as around the world.
Suicidal blindness. I love the phrases that you use as you report to us about current events. Well, we've got about 45 seconds. Talk to me about the world's biggest anti-mine naval exercise going on in the Persian Gulf. 41 different nations, 34 different ships trying to find the mines that Iran may have placed out there at the Strait of Hormuz.
Well, they've done it before, and that's why the Western powers are conducting this exercise. The Iranians mined the Strait of Hormuz in 1987. They blew up a U.S. Warship as well as some Kuwaiti tankers. And this is a deterrent exercise. So you have the Russians trying to deter the West from going into Syria, and you have the West trying to deter Iran from blocking the Strait of Hormuz. Things are definitely heating up in this geopolitical sphere, Jimmy, when you have that much going on.
Ken Timmerman from Washington, D.C. He's the man that covers geopolitical activities for us. We so appreciate his availability and his knowledge of what's happening in our world. Ken, thank you so very much. Hope to be able to talk with you again next week.
Thank you, Jimmy. God bless.